travel on The Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Spain's Costa del Sol is one of our favourite holiday destinations. So why is it so popular? And what can you do along this 175-kilometre strip? Paul O'Connella, travel editor with the Irish Independent, is just back. Paul, good morning.
Hiya, Pat. How are you?
It's long then. It's not a short Costa. It's a long Costa.
I suppose it depends how you look at it. When you think of Costa del Sol, you might think of a short strip of resorts. But the Sunshine Coast, as it means, goes all the way from Nerja, which is in the east, to Estepona and Manilva in the west, as you're moving towards, if you can picture it, the Algarve end of southern Spain. So it started small, started as a group of fishing villages that wouldn't have been connected like this. And over the decades, it has just boomed into one of Europe's real cash
cows. Who called it the Costa del Sol?
So I'm fascinated by how tourism develops like this. And I was trying to get to the bottom of this. It was first used by an enterprising hotel owner in the 1920s. There was an expo in Seville, which is in that region. And in a promotional wheeze, he said, come to the Costa del Sol, the Sunshine
Coast.
That's
how it started.
And it took on. Now, it took a while to get going. The first resorts kind of came in the 40s and 50s. The airport came in the 60s. In the 50s, it was you would have seen people like Grace Kelly and Marlon Brando visiting. And I was looking back on some older articles. This is hilarious to read today. But in the 60s, travel stories were still talking about the wild, unspoiled beauty of the Costa del Sol, as if it was some kind of, untouched, natural
paradise. When did the Irish start
paradise? Not long after that, when our package holiday industry took off in earnest in the 70s, if you remember the JWT set and all of that, those kind of holidays, it quickly got on the map, similar to, I'd put it, with the Algarve, with Mallorca, with Lanzarote. At this stage, our parents have been there, possibly our grandparents. We go back year in, year after. It's possible that a family in their lifetime might go to the Costa del Sol several times. And some of us even own property
now,
there.
You come into Malaga Airport. You can either turn right and go east or left and go west.
Yeah. So it used to be the case that if you went towards Torremolinos and Benalmadena and Fuengirola, these will all be place names that are familiar to listeners, of course, over the years, that was where the holidays were. And if you went the other direction towards Nerja, it got a lot quieter. But that is definitely changing. I was in Nerja myself last week. And while it's great that they've kind of preserved the whitewashed low-rise essence of the original town all around it, and on the motorway that drives along the strip is developed with apartments. But you can still, in Nerja, there's a marine park off the coast. I took a boat trip with a company called Sail and Play, and you can snorkel. We saw dolphins in the sea. We saw loads of fish underwater, beautifully clear water. And as you move further to the east, it changes from the Costa del Sol to the Costa Tropica. And actually, there's a little change in the climate. So that's when you're moving out towards Granada and that region. So it is possible, with a bit of research, to get away from the... Not that many people want to just obviously fly and flop, but it is possible to get beyond that.
Now, tell me about Ronda.
So this was another day trip I did. It had been years since I was in Ronda. Have you ever been to this town? So what you're getting into here is about an hour's drive up from the coast, from Marbella. Really squiggly, twisty, turny, hairpin, switchback bends. Slowly you're coming up in altitude and you can see the Mediterranean rising below you. You need to sort of have a strong stomach for the roads. You get to this town that has been there for centuries, since the Moorish days of Spain. And what's remarkable about Ronda is it's up in the mountains, and right in the middle of the city is this 100 metre deep gorge with a small bridge connecting it. And you can stand on the bridge. The bridge was built, they call it the New Bridge, hilariously, was built in the 1700s. And look down and watch the swifts and the pigeons flying beneath you in the gorge. It just plummets. And they have a new walkway that has been built that you can wind your way down, pay €5 and walk a small kind of a pathway that's attached to the side of the gorge. Look up at the people on the bridge looking down. It is just a stunning situation for a town, but it is quite over-touristed. And I'm aware of the irony of saying that. I was one of the people going up for a day trip. I would recommend if you're going, try an overnight. If you can't do that, it's a beautiful town. And when the tourists slip away and you have these white washed buildings and the little alleys and the tapas bars spring to life and the temperature cools down, it's gorgeous. Or go early and be done with it by lunchtime. Be on your way.
Now, we've been talking a bit about over tourism and the protests on the islands, Tenerife and so on. As well as on the mainland in Barcelona. What about Malaga?
So Malaga has gone through an interesting evolution. At the start, when we were talking about those early package holidays, people just went to the airport and bypassed the city. But really in the last 10, 15 years, people have discovered it as a beautiful city in itself. It was where Picasso grew up. There's lovely tapas bars. It's right on the coast. And we've seen... It's still worth going to in the off season, but what we've seen is like so many cities in Europe, like Venice, like Barcelona, as apartments are given over to short-term rentals with the Airbnb and others, living in the cities can become harder for locals to afford. And that's kind of coming to a push. There has been protests there. There's been anti-tourist stickers that are popped up. Yeah. Not quite to the extent that we've seen it in Barcelona, but it's definitely an issue. And definitely... something we're all going to have to engage with, I think, as we continue
because
with
mass for local
tourism.
People, I mean, city living on continental Europe is very much what people do.
Yeah.
They go to a local school, they dine in local cafes and all of that.
Yeah.
And if you find yourself being pushed out to the equivalent of Lucan or Kinnegad or whatever, you'd be rightly teed off with
exactly.
the people who are forcing you out.
And many people who work in the tourist industries are these people who can't afford to live in the cities themselves. So the tourism revenue is important. And we know that in Ireland as well. And we have this debate in Dublin too. What we need to sort of look at is the model of it. And just wondering about, I suppose, packing in so many trips and so many cheap and cheerful holidays. So it's not an easy nut to crack. But if you go to Malaga, I would recommend... push it into the shoulder season, I think. Yeah. You'll find it a little bit cooler. It can get very hot on the Costa del Sol. Last week was in the low 30s, but we will see it in the low 40s at times this
that's
summer.
That's not pleasant.
No, that's when it starts to become a whole other ball. You're kind of managing the heat at that stage. Although, God, I have to say, Pat, getting out from under the grey skies here for a few days, you can see why the Sunshine Coast
is such a draw. There are still deals for people who are downed by the grey skies.
Yeah, there are. So it's similar to the Algarve. There is loads of access. The prices tick up in summer when the kids get off school. But there are several flights a day to Malaga with Aer Lingus and Ryanair. Just a couple of prices as an indication. If you wanted to go next week, Click and Go has a family of four at entry-level two-star Torremolinos from about 2,800 or a three-star Fuengirola from 2,900. So that's for a week with your apartment, with your flights. Mid-range, I was looking at Sunway has four-star packages in Marbella from about 1,000 per person in August. So this is, again, peak season. If you go September, October, the prices plummet. And another tip for you, if you want to go for a complete splash, there's a Anantara hotel called the Villa Padierna Palace just near Marbella. It's about 10 minutes up from the coast with three golf courses. Michelle Obama stayed there, and that's 600 a night B&B. So there's this full spectrum.
Full spectrum, but still some availability. That's the
Availability. Just you will pay high prices in peak season and summer.
But some of those package deals, when you think, what if you went Ryanair or Aer Lingus and booked your own fare?
Yeah.
And then you look, well, what's the add-on to get accommodation and breakfast and all the rest? It's not that much per person.
No, and you can also, with the package, I suppose they will provide you with a transfer from Malaga to your resort and they might give you a bit of rep backup. But we're so familiar with the Costa at this stage. It's like the Algarve. People would be totally comfortable renting cars and driving and getting around themselves.
And Ubers are cheap.
I used Ubers while I was there. Similar enough to Dublin. Very easy to get on the app. I never had to wait more than 6 or 7 minutes. But just beware of surge pricing. I was trying to get an Uber during the Spain semi-final last Thursday night, I think it was. And I literally checked my phone. It was €12. And I checked it 10 minutes later and it was €23 for the exact same ride.
But all the Uber drivers want to watch the match as well. There you are. Anyway, Paul, thank you very much for joining us. Paul O'Connell, Travel.
Travel on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thanks to Ryanair. Nothing quite says I love you like a Ryanair gift card. The perfect gift for couples.
Editor with the Irish Independent.